Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. It is week 11 of the NFL season and time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show comes to you every single week. Thanks to the United States Marine Corps, ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, and Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar. Well, we got a full slate again for you today. Introduce yourself and talk about how you're doing in the Loon League, Eric.
John, yeah, not doing too bad in the Loon League. Eric LeBratton here from Hutchinson. You know, I'm in playoff contentions. I tend to just fizzle away in the Loon League each year, so I'm hoping to go for that Loon Bardi this year. My team's looking pretty good, John.
Good.
I have some injuries. Some injuries on the injury report, though.
Justin.
Well, I'm in the playoffs right now. I have a winning record, and I've done it surviving, you know, Kyren Williams injury, Devon Achane injury, Saquon Barkley for a bit, and those guys are all coming back. So my team is on the upswing, but I'm in the division that is really good. As opposed to Eric and Jack, who are in the division where everybody is tied at 5-5.
Right on. Jack.
Yeah, truer words are never spoken. There's a four-way tie for first. The difference is we do have three people. I mean, Eric, Rod, and myself, we've all scored as many or more points than, you know, the top people in your guys' division too. So just been some rough weeks is basically what that means. But if the playoffs started today, the Headbangers division would be led by yours truly, the Eugene Cyril Loon League, two at a time, 5-5 playoff team, just like my Falcons.
Lyle.
I'm just enjoying the ride. 8-2, getting some guys healthy too, so this should be a good run for my chances at another Loon Bardi.
Well, I am in the same division, the Longhairs, just behind Lyle at 7-3. And but boy, I got banged up in Thursday night's game, losing. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, for the next hour, we're going to be talking about all there is to talk about in the world of fantasy football. We want to help you win your league. So if we can do that, go grab that free 94.1 The Loon app. Push that little blue button in the lower right hand corner. That sends a message right to the studio. You can also send us an email. It's 941theloonrocks.com. We would love to help you out. Time for the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report. Okay, talking about some of the newer injuries and maybe some other stuff that's going on right now. As we see it, these guys are out for this week. But as always, check the injury report for tomorrow. That includes Deshaun Watson, season-ending injury there. Alexander Mattison is trending toward out with a concussion. Damian Pierce is actually trending toward out with an ankle injury still. And then the big one from last night, more than likely Mark Andrews either broke, not last night, Thursday night, Mark Andrews likely broke his ankle or has a severe high ankle sprain, more than likely out multiple weeks. These guys are still questionable for week 11, and that includes Baker Mayfield with a thumb, Taylor Heinicke with a hamstring, Saquon Barkley, Deonta Foreman, Antonio Gibson, Rico Dowdle, Raheem Mostert, Jerome Ford along the lines of running backs. For receivers, we've got Garrett Wilson, Deontay Johnson, Mike Evans, Marvin Mims, Noah Brown. And for tight ends, Hayden Hurst, Gerald Everett, and Dalton Schultz showing up on the injury report. These guys are in for week 11. Justin Fields coming back to Chicago and maybe sparking that offense a little bit. Matthew Stafford with a thumb injury. He should be playing this week. Good news for Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua managers. Devon Achane is trending toward playing this week, as is Khalil Herbert. Well, Thursday night football. So I'll throw it to you, Justin. A lot of people are saying that the Baltimore Ravens are not only the best team in the AFC, but they're the best team in the NFL and kind of quietly doing it. What say you?
There's no reason to say they aren't. They're right up there with about four or five teams that, you know, everyone's trying to figure out which one is the best. Baltimore is the most balanced in the AFC. And then in the NFC, it's a toss-up between San Francisco and Dallas, I think, to be honest. Philly loses all because their secondary is just a giant sieve on defense. So there's no reason to say they're not. And it is quietly. There's still people talking more about the Cowboys or the Niners or the Chiefs or even the Buffalo Bills, who are in complete disarray, than the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. And I was going to bring that team up was the Chiefs. Nobody's talking about the Chiefs, but they seem to do this year after year, and now they've got a good defense.
Yeah, best scoring defense in the league. They're, I think, the only team that's allowing 16 or less. So, yeah, when you pair that up with maybe an offense that I think hasn't really clicked all season, they're still figuring it out with their receiving core. I think Rashee Rice is going to help them, but that's the problem with Kansas City. I don't think they can just outscore anybody. So if their defense does kind of crap out here this second half of the season, I could see the Chiefs sliding a little bit, and teams like Baltimore and maybe even a team like Miami passing them up.
Eric, I'll throw it to you then. Cincinnati getting the big injury from Joe Burrow. They dropped to 5-5 after that Thursday night loss. And the Bills, as Justin said, are in disarray. You think either of these teams make the playoffs this year?
You know, I don't think Cincinnati's going to win many games without Joe Burrow. So I think that Joe Burrow injury is a big one for Cincinnati. But I think with a healthy Joe Burrow, yes. And I think Buffalo absolutely makes the playoffs. They'll figure it out. You know, they might have to – they probably should have got rid of Diggs. He's one of those receivers that you can only keep for a couple of years, and then you get top value for him. As soon as he blew up, like last year, they should have traded him. Got a first-round pick just like we did. Now he's just going to cause nothing but problems there. but I think they figure it out. They're too talented, if not figure it out. That defense is talented, and I think Buffalo easily makes the playoffs.
Jack, got to give you some Falcon time. NFC South still up for grabs. I don't know if Carr's going to be playing. The Buccaneers look all right. Did Arthur Smith finally play in his best players for once? Is there a chance for your Falcons?
I got to be honest. As long as Arthur Smith's at the helm, I don't think so. I truly, genuinely think it's a lot of bad coaching going on there. I mean, the Minnesota loss was one thing, but, you know, with the Saints defense keeping them in the fight, and Tampa Bay does look pretty solid all around, and Carolina's a joke. This was a year that it's like it would have been easy pickings. You know, any team in the NFC North would have won the NFC South this year. So pretty embarrassing. I think it's an Arthur Smith problem. I got to be honest, I just don't like the coaching. So,
yeah, losers of three in a row, the Falcons. But he shaved the mustache. Maybe that will bring on superpowers. We're going to come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategy. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy. Kick it off with quarterbacks. Eric, what are you seeing for quarterbacks this week?
All right, John, I'm going down the list. About halfway down the list here, I'm going to go to Brock Purdy. Going up against Tampa Bay this week, I feel like he easily gets three touchdowns and 300 yards. San Francisco on the upswing and fully healthy, John. So the new additions to the defense only helps the offense. And I think in the end, Purdy is a safe play. $5,800 compared to like a Jalen Hurts at $8,300. So definitely worth it.
I think he's the best value play, and I don't think it's even close, especially after what we saw last week. Justin, quarterbacks.
I am in the same price range, a little bit cheaper. Russell Wilson, who's been playing pretty well as of late for Denver, going up against the Vikings, whose secondary has been very opportunistic, but they're one of the worst against wide receivers for fantasy football. So he's only $5,200.
You know, quietly, yeah, I agree with that. Jack, running back or quarterbacks.
Yeah, I went with Brock Purdy as well. I think for the value, he's almost like the chalk this week. I mean, you're not going to get a better quarterback for the dollar, and you're getting McCaffrey, Kittle, Samuel, Ayuk with him, and that Niners defense. So, yep.
Lyle.
I got some mid-range guys, too. I like Kyler Murray at 6,100. His value didn't go up much after he had a pretty solid return from his injury. I'd even go Josh Dobbs, 5,700. I think he's the same boat as like Russell Wilson. I mean, I think he's a good bet to find the end zone with his legs and at least throw a touchdown pass. So Dobbs at 5,700 or Kyler at 6,100.
The three top plays for me are Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, and if you've got more money, Sam Howell going up against a New York Giants defense that Dak Prescott absolutely gashed. And I'm not saying they're the same quarterback. Well, they're pretty close to the same quarterback. but 6,300. If you are a hardcore gambler, and I mean hardcore, it's Dorian Thompson Robinson against Pittsburgh, and it's $4,500, and don't expect much at all from that. Running backs, Justin.
Yeah, I'm going to take advantage. Ty Chandler for the Vikings. He's only 4,800. Denver's 32nd against the running back. Kind of same thing with like a Devin Singletary, right? They're cheap. They're very affordable options with good matchups.
Yeah, for sure. Jack?
Yeah, I've got some Chandler in there, and I'm also mixing in some Pollard. I'll take Doddle, too, to be honest with you, though, if you don't have the money. But I think going against Carolina, you got to get a Dallas running back in there. It's going to be such a blowout. They're going to have to hand the ball off to somebody.
For sure. Lyle?
Those are the guys I had on my list. I'm going to go with Devon Achane, $6,600. He's coming back from injury. I think he's going to get, you know, his probably 12 to 15 touches. And the way he's produced so far this year, that's probably the lowest price you'll get on him the rest of the year.
Eric?
Yeah, I'm probably going to, Justin, like Justin said, Singletary at 5,300 is a no-brainer with Damian Pierce being out. Singletary actually looked pretty good last week. Also probably going to spend my money on this week. I feel like, you know, you're going to have to start two running backs. So I definitely would get Eckler in there this week. I think Eckler has a huge week this week against the Packers. Worth getting. He's going to be the top running back this week. He's a little spendy, but Eckler will be the number one running back.
I love the Singletary call. Yeah, Eckler, solid. Pollard has to do something eventually. I like Aaron Jones at 6,200 against the Chargers, who just don't have a defense. The volume play that I like is Jerome Ford. He seems to be just the guy. Kareem Hunt not doing a whole heck of a lot on that team. Jerome Ford at 5,200 seems like a nice play as well. How about wide receivers, Jack?
Well, you go ahead and anchor it down with some Tyreek Hill. I don't care who he's playing against. The guy's a baller. And then I'm stacking Debo with Brock Purdy as well. And then on the cheap, sorry to give you so many, but I'm going to give you Rondell Moore at 3,300, Arizona at Houston. Rondell Moore plays, he takes some rushes too. He runs out of the backfield a little bit, and I think Connor's still a little impy. So I think for 3,300, it's the best I could squeeze in there.
I think he's going to be played a lot in tournaments, Rondell Moore. Lyle?
High end, I like Amon-Ra St. Brown, 8,800. Gets the Chicago defense, which is one of the worst against the pass. It's going to be indoors, so there's no weather issue. And he's got a floor, a good floor. 16 points is his low for the year. 34 is the ceiling, so I like St. Brown. And then my bargain's Jaden Reed, 4,000. Gets the terrible, terrible Charger pass defense. And he's actually had double-digit fantasy points, 5 of the last 8. 4,000 bucks is a bargain.
Yeah, I think so, too. Amon-Ra St. Brown has had 16 points or more for 8 consecutive weeks, and that, like, the only thing that's Jerry Rice and Megatron type of numbers. That's how good that guy is. He's just so solid, and he could be the 1-1 next year. Anyway, Eric.
Yeah, my value pick, I think, John, is going to be Dobbs. 5,200 going up against the horrible Chargers secondary. You're going to want to get him in the lineup. So I think he has a huge week. And then, you know, I'm probably going to go with, I think having a big week, he's definitely due, is Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel, I think, has just a monster game this week. There again, bad matchup. He's finally healthy. Tampa Bay is awful. And somebody's going to have to blow up there in San Francisco. Why not Debo? I see they're even handing him the ball again in the backfield, John, trying to, you know, lighten up McCaffrey's load a little bit. I see Debo having a big game.
Justin.
Yeah, I like all the value calls. You know, Reed, Moore, I agree on those. I agree with Eric, Debo or Ayuk, because Tampa Bay's been susceptible to the deep ball quite a bit this year. Pick your number one alpha, spend the money, and then two more guys I'll give you. Cortland Sutton, 5,200, pairing him with Russell Wilson against the Vikings, and Tank Dell, who's just been hot as of late and looks like he is likely the number one receiver. Once everyone's healthy, I think it'll still be Tank Dell. He's only 5,900 against Arizona, and I think that the Arizona-Houston game, I'm hopeful, and I believe it's going to be a bit of a shootout. You know, it may disappoint, but it has all the signs of being a high-scoring game.
I think that's where all the stacks are. I was just going to say that. It's the highest over-under of the week is Houston-Arizona of all games. Yeah, I like Dell. I like Michael Wilson from Arizona at $3,400. I love the Rondale Moore call. I think you can stack them with quarterbacks and have yourself some fun with a few different lineups for sure. All right, tight ends. What do you say, Lyle?
Sticking with that stack, Trey McBride, 4,400. That's why I got him with Kyler Murray. But I like TJ Hockenson this week, too. If he suits up and Jefferson's not in, I think you know where Dobbs is throwing that ball. Hockenson could have a huge game against Denver.
For sure. Eric?
Yeah, a healthy Hockenson is definitely, you know, a great call. I'm staying away from Travis Kelce, $8,100. That is ridiculous. And they're spreading the ball on Kansas City. They made it clear he's not going to just keep throwing to Kelce this year. So I'm going to go one step down for $2,000 less than Greg Kittle. I think Kittle. I'm putting all my Niners in there this week, boys. I mean, if I don't have one of those Niner receivers in, I definitely want to get Kittle in there. And again, I love the Hockenson call. He's the number one tight end. If he plays, he's definitely number one.
Justin.
Yeah, I needed to save a little money here, so I went with Cole Kmet. You know, Justin Fields is going to be back. Cole Kmet was doing just fine when Justin Fields was in at quarterback as well. Obviously, Detroit is going to put up some points, and he's only $4,100. So I threw Cole Kmet in there.
Jack.
Well, I'm going with Travis Kelce for sure. I agree George Kittle and the Niners are going to have a good day. But he's got Purdy has so many offensive weapons. You know, he doesn't have to hit him. Kelce is really the only option if the Chiefs want to win this game. And they don't have to, you know, they don't have to win this game to make the playoffs. But I do think that they want to. They realize that this could be a Super Bowl preview kind of a deal. So I think they're going to come out hot and heavy. You know, Mahomes had a bad week a couple games ago. So I think he's going to come out and just hit Kelce for 15 receptions on 18 or 20 targets and have a huge week.
Did I hear right that Taylor Swift's family will also be in the box with the Kelce family this weekend, if you put any weight into that? I love the Trey McBride call. Just keep playing him. If you need $100 more, I like Evan Engram against Tennessee. And if you need a few more $100, I do like the Cole Kmet call against Detroit. All right, let's wrap it up. Defenses, Eric.
You know, I'm probably jumping down. I don't know about daily if I feel safe doing this in daily, but the Commanders defense going against the Giants. I'm starting anybody against the Giants. The Giants are awful.
$3,600 bucks. Yeah, that is a bad team. It turns your defense into a huge number once you're playing the Giants. Justin?
I'll gamble on one of the cheapest options, the New York Jets at Buffalo, $2,600. I'm a little nervous about it, but Buffalo has been giving the ball away quite a bit. I know they fired the offensive coordinator, so we'll see, but they're only $2,600.
Did you know that it's Ken Dorsey's fault that Buffalo had 12 guys on the field after a timeout? I love that stuff.
Yeah, did you also know that Josh Allen's thrown a pile of interceptions and they never put him on the bench? But
that's Ken Dorsey's fault.
Once, yep. And they bench him.
Yeah, yep, for sure. Jack, defenses.
Well, if you can afford it, I think you could play the Chiefs defense this week. I mean, you know, the Eagles don't do anything too sexy or splashy. And the Chiefs defense is, like Lyle alluded to earlier in the show, they are the top scoring defense. And I think that they're going to be on fire for this game. And I bet we're going to see our first failed brotherly shove this week.
Lyle.
Miami, just because they're playing Vegas at home and getting Aiden O'Connell again, who isn't a very good quarterback either. So I like the Miami D at $3,200.
The punt.
Thank you, Lyle, for giving some good fantasy advice, not starting the Jets against Buffalo or the Chiefs against Philly. What are we talking about here?
I do have the Jets on my list, too, so but I figured I'd give a different one.
The punt play of the week is the Packers against the Chargers. If you just want to see what could absolutely happen, the floor is zero, but there is a ceiling there. Not much of one, but what do you expect for $2,300? All right, we'll come back and talk United States Marine Corps waiver wire warrior. It's a fantasy football foursome. We're back on the fantasy football foursome, and breaking news, I think next week we are going to have a text line back. Finally. I know that they'll be singing in the streets for some of you out there. So we'll keep you posted as we find out more. Time for the United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. Some slim pickings at quarterback. Eric, what are you seeing out there?
Yeah, it's pretty slim pickings. I'm very surprised to see Joshua Dobbs still available in over 40% of leagues, along with Kyler Murray. who's available in 40% of leagues. Those are the two obvious ones, John. So, you know, I am Captain Obvious, and both those guys are probably already on one of my teams. But if they're in your league, definitely go pick them up. Again, both those guys available in 40% of leagues.
Justin.
Yeah, can't take anything for granted. Gotta put a couple of the must pickups if they're sitting out there. If they are gone, I'm not afraid to roll the dice with Matt Stafford this week, coming back against Seattle, division game. It's at home. Puka, Cooper Kupp, they're still there. And he's available in 70% of leagues. So I'll gamble on him because I can likely pick him up.
Jack.
Mr. Unlimited. Russell's available in 43% of leagues. No reason for that unless you're in an eight or maybe a one QB 10-man league where you have dead money in there. He should at least be on the roster because he's got some favorable matchups. So until the bye weeks are done, pick Russell up.
He would have been my guy. He's the 13th ranked quarterback right now in fantasy football. Lyle, what do you got?
Like this guy said before, though, double check on these guys. Justin Fields, 18%. Sam Howell, 27%. Jared Goff, 25% of leagues. You can go pick those guys up. And in deep, deep, crazy leagues, I'm going Dorian Thompson Robinson. I dropped Will Levis to pick him up. So real deep as a backup option just to see what he's got for Cleveland.
Yeah, DTR starting over P.J. Walker. Not sure what the Browns are doing. You got an open IR slot, and you want to have some fun. Aaron Rodgers available in 85% of leagues. He is shooting for a week 15 or 16 comeback. I don't know. You manage your league. But, if you've got an open slot, it doesn't hurt you at all. Running backs, Justin.
Yeah, I'm going to give you Antonio Gibson. He's available in 53% of leagues going against the Giants, who've been just terrible. I could see a lot of Gibson and Brian Robinson in this game in the second half.
Jack.
Well, I'm going to give you a three-week play, and that's Rico Dowdle. I doubtle you'll want to play him after that, but he's got at Carolina, then Washington and Seattle coming to Dallas. Dallas has been blowing people out. They've been sitting their starters. And he's – so, you know, last game against the Giants, he gets 12 carries for 79 yards and a TD. If you need a plug and play for 1 week, I think for the next 3 weeks he's solid.
Lyle.
I got Dowdle on my list. I recommended picking up Ty Chandler as a backup option last week. Turns out Madison gets hurt. I know Ty Chandler is still available in, I think, 45% of leagues. So make sure you pick him up for a one-week play.
Eric.
Yeah, Ty Chandler calls an obvious one. I mean, they're going up against Denver, who's 32nd against the run. I mean, they're dead last in the league against the run. So Ty Chandler, if he is the only guy out there, if Madsen's sitting, Ty Chandler's he's a running back number two. I like that call. Devin Singletary still available in about 40% of leagues. I don't know how that guy's still on the waiver wire. He had a great week, 23 points last week, John, and he's filling in. He's going to be filling in against this week on that really good, exciting electric Houston offense. So Devin Singletary, he's an obvious one, still available in almost 40% of leagues.
Yeah, there are still some names out there who could get you a few points. Daryl Henderson available in 35% of leagues. Royce Freeman in about 80% of leagues. The gambler play, which is always one of my favorites. Keaton Mitchell, I know, again, he didn't do a whole lot Thursday night, but Harbaugh said he's going to start designing some plays for Keaton Mitchell because of his explosiveness. And another name I heard, okay, here we go. Kenne Nwangwu? Well, that's going to be Ty Chandler's backup against the Vikings. I'm not saying start this guy, but as I understand it, the guy is electric fast and might be a Keaton Mitchell type. Want to have some fun, got open spots. Hey, why not? Wide receivers, Jack.
Yeah, so staying in the bargain basement, I'll just throw two names at you quick. The first one's going to be Jaden Reed out of Green Bay. Right now in our league, he's ranked 42nd, averaging 10 points a game. Honestly, he's just been getting looks. So he's got two touchdowns in his last four games, double-digit points in three of his last four, I mean. So, you know, and that was against Denver, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh. So the defenses weren't awful. And then Rondale Moore, I think you got to pick him up and see what happens with Kyler Murray.
Lyle.
Rashee Rice, 47% available. I think he is the top option in that Kansas City passing offense behind Kelsey. So I'm still a little surprised he's that available.
Yeah, I agree. Eric.
Yeah, I like the Rashee Rice call. I'm going to go with maybe Noah Brown. They're coming off of 24 points last week. Again, I want a part of this Houston offense. They're just electrifying. And somebody, I mean, Tank Dell, he's been basically swooped up in every league, and Noah Brown's the next guy in line. So Noah Brown available in almost 60% of leagues, John.
Justin.
Yeah, I love Rashee Rice. That's a gambler's play. Hail Mary. He's playing Monday night, you know, throw him in there and see what happens. I'll give you Michael Wilson for Arizona, who flashed. Everybody picked him up. And then Arizona's quarterback play just got worse and worse, so everyone dropped him. And now he's available in 93% of leagues with Kyler Murray coming back. So everyone's on Kyler Murray. Go grab Michael Wilson. The guy has talent. He belongs in the NFL. He's definitely the wide receiver, too, there.
Yeah, Michael Wilson was going to be my guy until – well, for sure, my guy. But I'll say this. If Brandon Cooks is available, he's out there in 40% of leagues. 9 receptions, 173 yards, and a touchdown last week. Yes, it was against the Giants. But Jack has hit on this, too. Carolina, Washington, and Seattle coming up, and Philadelphia after that. Is Brandon Cooks turning into a thing? He might be, and he might be out there in your leagues. Tight ends, Lyle.
He's not available in a lot of leagues. David Njoku at 19%, but he's kind of solidly been a double-digit performer. So if you can get him, scoop him up. A little further down, Luke Musgrave for Green Bay. He's had about 4 double-digit fantasy point performances in the last 7 games, it looks like. And they get that Chargers defense, which is awful against the pass.
Eric.
You know, a guy who had coming off a bad week last week, Kate Otten. I mean, he's a guy you could plug in if you needed somebody, John. Hopefully you got better options at tight end. I strongly suggest, kind of like John said, if you got an injury or, you know, I do everything I can to trade for a top tight end if that's what you need at this point. Such a key position, John, to have just somebody who can get that steady 10 to 15 points. Yeah. So Otten, probably not that guy. Might get you 23, might get you an 8, but he's available in most leagues.
Justin.
Yeah, if you don't have a way to acquire, say, a Jake Ferguson, maybe look at Pat Freiermuth, who's still available in like 40% of leagues, or 60% of leagues, sorry, because he's been on IR so long, people forgot about him, and he is coming back. Don't want to play him this week, but he's a guy. And then old mayor in Las Vegas, Michael Mayer, who got a touchdown last week, 5 targets, you know, only 19 yards. The quarterback play in Vegas hasn't been great, but Miami this week, they're going to have to throw a lot. So he's not a bad plug and play. He's available in like every single league.
Yeah, he was my guy. He's a good football player with a bad quarterback. Jack, tight ends.
Well, I'm going to give you Kate Otten as well. The reason is because he's averaging 6 targets per game against Atlanta, Buffalo, Houston, and Tennessee. That's a variety of defenses. He scored 8, 9, 23, and 3 in the last 4 games. San Francisco, tough matchup, but then he's got Indy, Carolina, Atlanta, Green Bay. Finishes out the year with Carolina if you have a Week 18 league. So if you had a Mark Andrews and you can get scrape by this week, since he's got San Fran, pick him up and then put him in next week.
Well, I'm not sure if I should even say this. Dallas Goedert going down with that forearm injury. Who is the backup in Philadelphia? Well, it looks like it's going to be old Albert O coming in. And maybe I'm wrong. You guys tell me if I am. But Albert Alphabet, that starts with O, usually in a case like this, when Goedert has gone down, Devonta Smith's targets have gone up, just skyrocketed up. But you could get a starting quarterback or a starting tight end on a team with a good quarterback. It's either going to be Albert O or something called Grant Calcaterra. And trust me when I tell you, both of them are available. Let's run through defenses quick. Eric, what do you got?
You know, I'm going to go, I said earlier, the Commanders against the Giants. They're not a great defense. Came off a -5 outing last week. But going up against the Giants, they're worth a start.
For sure. They've gone up for sure. Justin.
Oh, man. First of all, the receiving option in Philly is going to be more Devonta Smith.
Yes.
That's my hope. And they just skip out on the tight end. For a defense, I'm going to go with the San Diego Chargers against the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love makes some bad throws and just doesn't seem to be really figuring out and taking off. That Chargers pass rush, I think, is on after just getting torched last week by Detroit. And they're available in 85% of leagues.
Jack.
Well, slightly less available. Your Vikings available in just over 50%. And then the Dolphins available at just over 35%. And I'm basing this off of the schedule. The Vikings have at Denver, then Chicago, then a bye, then at Vegas, at Cincy with God knows who at QB. So four good weeks there out of the Vikes. And then the Dolphins have Vegas at the Jets, at Washington, Tennessee, Jets. I mean, there's some good weeks coming up for some of these defenses. Don't be afraid to get on the carousel.
Lyle.
I picked up Washington this week. They're still available in 32% of leagues. You want a play for the playoffs in the stretch run? Colts. They get at Tennessee, at Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and Vegas. That's a pretty good 5-week run.
It is, but marrying yourself to that Colts defense is that's my kind of play, a gamble play. I'm going to give you a top 12 defense available in 68% of leagues who's going up against a pretty lousy offense. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are a 12th ranked defense right now. They're at home. They're probably pretty upset after how things have been going, and they're up against Will Levis, quietly turning into a fairly decent defense, and again, available in 68% of leagues. We're going to come back. It'll be Trenchum and Benchum time and talk about all the remaining games for Week 11. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome. All right, it's the Fantasy Football Foursome, and it's time for Trenchum and Benchum for Week 11 on bye. Holy smokes. I looked at a young man named Carter's team, and boy, he got affected by this bye week, at least in one of his leagues. That's Atlanta, Indianapolis, New England, and New Orleans. Let's kick off Week 11's noon matchups, Eric. Dallas taking on Carolina.
Well, hold on. First of all, if you're affected by that bye week, your team is probably terrible, even when your players aren't on bye.
Fair enough.
That sounds like a rough draft here.
I'll let you talk to Carter about that.
All right, John. Well, who am I putting in the trenches? Dallas, Carolina. Well, I'll start on the Carolina side of the ball. It's much easier. Adam Thielen. He's came down to earth, John. He started out the season looking like a top five receiver. Now he looks like a sexy flexy at best, exactly where he should have been. Bryce Young, he goes on the bench. Everybody else on that team goes on the bench. On the Dallas side of the ball, there's a lot more plays, John. You got CeeDee Lamb. He's a must start. Dak Prescott. He's a must trench each and every week. Tony Pollard. What a huge disappointment this guy's been. I mean, you're playing him. He cost me in my guillotine league last week. Who picks that? Picked him up, wasted a waiver pick on him. Don't play Tony Pollard if you have somebody better. I'm actually going to say it, John. Put this guy on the bench. He is freaking awful. And then Jake Ferguson, put him on the bench. And then last but not least, that big Dallas D, John. They got to be in the every week. I don't care who they're playing. Put that Dallas defense in the trenches.
Dallas favored by 10.5 points. Jack, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Well, this is the only game I was really looking forward to breaking down for so many reasons. One, on the Pittsburgh side of the ball, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, you can have both these guys in your lineup week in and week out. They're doing their thing. I think JJ mentioned Pat Freiermuth is scheduled to come back off IR. You got to keep an eye out for him. And that Steelers defense against Cleveland, and Lord knows who they're trotting out at QB this week. I think that that's a good play, too. Deontay Johnson in a flex, I think that's about it, you know, as far as you go on the Pittsburgh side. On the Cleveland side of the ball, and the reason I really wanted to break this game down, John, I think you probably know why. But the hand of God finally reached down and corrected Roger Goodell and the NFL's mistake and said, boys, this guy shouldn't be in the league. Touched him on the shoulder, and he's gone. Finally, Deshaun Watson gets what he had coming. Everyone forgot that this guy's basically a serial sexual harassment lawsuit walking and started getting behind him for some stupid reason. Guy shouldn't be in the NFL anyways. I'm glad he's out. I'm glad the Browns are going to suffer for it. They shouldn't have given him the contract. Everyone around him sucks. I have no Browns on any of my teams. I don't think you should start any of these guys, but if you had to, you'd start Cooper at receiver and Ford at running back and maybe Njoku at tight end, who's way better than your tight end, John, because your tight end is out for the end of the year. Surprise Kareem Hunt hasn't done more, but I like Ford better in that. I hope that Deshaun Watson never takes a snap again.
I was reminded of on the show when you warned all the ladies in the massage parlors around the Cleveland area about Deshaun Watson coming to town. Cleveland favored by a point and a half.
John, you can go ahead and put those girls back in the trenches. Take him off the bench and put him back in the trenches. He gone.
Lyle, Chicago versus Detroit.
Yeah, the return of Justin Fields. With some bye weeks and some injuries, I think you got to go from having him on the IR to back in your lineup. Put him in the trenches. I like DJ Moore as a wide receiver 3. And I think in a deep league, Cole Kmet is a must-start in a tight end mandatory league. So get him in there. But as far as that running back situation, I don't think I want to touch it with the Bears. It looks like Khalil Herbert's coming back and Deonta Foreman, who's done some decent running for the Bears. I think those guys are going to split the workload too much to put those guys in the trenches. As for Detroit, I like Jared Goff as a top 12 guy this week. Jahmyr Gibbs has emerged as an RB1. I think David Montgomery's a safe RB2. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown, of course. He's a top 10 receiver. And Laporta at tight end has to be in the lineup as well. I do like the defense, too, for the Lions just this week as a one-week play against the Bears.
Any thoughts on Jameson Williams putting ice cream on his hamburger? Didn't see that, maybe.
No, I didn't see that, but I think that's I wouldn't have it on my birthday.
Borderline disgusting. Detroit favored by 7.5 points. Justin, Chargers, Packers.
All right. Austin Eckler, Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, and the Chargers defense. That's it on that side of the ball, and they're all pretty obvious with the exception of the defense, but I'd like them this week. They play well against bad offenses, and they just had 0 sacks and did nothing to help their team out against Detroit. So I think Bosa and Khalil Mack and company have a pretty good game. Moving on to the Green Bay side of the ball, I'll trench Aaron Jones because running back options are limited, and, I mean, that's it. You know, flip a coin on Reed, Dubs, or Christian Watson as a flex play. But that's it. I don't want anyone else on this roster in any capacity.
Yeah. Eric brought up Pollard being a disappointment. I think we can chalk Watson up to being one to almost that level. Chargers favored by 3. Eric, the game of the week, really, at least for the main slate anyway, Arizona-Houston.
Yeah, John, I mean, you're going to have some fantasy implications here. You're going to hopefully have some high scoring. CJ Stroud, this guy's a must start. I mean, he's just ridiculous. What a fantastic quarterback and a great thing for the league, John, to see another guy like CJ Stroud in there. Exciting to watch. Devin Singletary, he's a must start against this horrible Arizona run defense. So I like Devin Singletary. He's a running back number 2. Nico Collins, if he plays, Tank Dell, Noah Brown, these guys are all like sexy flexy options, wide receiver numbers 2. And then Dalton Schultz, get him as a tight end. Each and every week, Dalton Schultz has got to be in there. I'm sitting that defense this week, John. And moving over to the Arizona side of the ball, you know, I do like Kyler Murray. I mean, he came back, like Lyle said. He looked pretty good the first game back. I thought he'd have to shake off some rust, John, but he didn't have to shake off much rust at all. He was out there looking like the Kyler Murray of old. So get Kyler out there. Marquise Hollywood Brown, he's a must start. He's a wide receiver number 2. Kind of disappointed, only 3 points last week. I think he bounces back this week with a big game. James Conner, he is back. He is no better than a sexy flexy. The run game there is just a little bit head-scratching, but I think James Conner gets it going. Probably a safe running back. He's probably a running back number 2, sneaks in the end zone. And then Trey McBride, obvious choice. They are awful, 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 them being Houston against tight ends. So Trey McBride could easily have 20 fantasy points this game. He is going to have a big game, John.
Houston favored by 4.5. Over-under is the highest on the main slate at 49. I think it's the highest for the week. I get Tennessee versus Jacksonville. No need to overthink this. Will Levis has come back down to earth after that first appearance out there. Maybe he hucks it around a little bit more, but I'm not starting him this week. We are soon to be approaching December, which is the month of Derrick Henry. You're putting him out there. No, you're not starting Tajay Spears just yet. DeAndre Hopkins pretty much being the only other start in Tennessee this week. And I think they're going up against an angry Jacksonville Jaguars team. Lawrence has been borderline benchable. Talk about head scratch. What's going on there? And maybe it's the Houston, or maybe it's the Tennessee defense that can get him his head screwed back on straight. I don't know. I don't know if you have better options right now than Trevor Lawrence. ETN must start. Tank Bigsby, go ahead and drop him. Calvin Ridley, another disappointment this year. He's no better than a flex. Christian Kirk, though, has been nice on a wide receiver, too. And I do like Evan Ingram and that Jacksonville defense this week against Tennessee. Jacksonville is favored by 7 at home. Lyle, the Raiders taking on the Dolphins.
Yeah, this is not a good Raiders football team. I know they have played better since they fired McDaniels as their coach, but when you got Aiden O'Connell as your trigger man, you're in trouble. You cannot be playing him, and it downgrades kind of all their guys except really Josh Jacobs, because once they've played O'Connell, they really have ridden him pretty hard. He's a lock, I think, for 20 to 25 touches, so you're playing Josh Jacobs as a safe RB1. Devontae Adams is getting targets. He's not getting a lot of production with him. I think that makes him just a wide receiver, too. Same thing with Jacoby Myers. It's been a big downgrade since O'Connell's come in. He's had 3 straight subpar fantasy outings. I'd rather play someone else, but I guess if you're maybe in a 3 wide receiver flex kind of situation, you could sneak him into the back of your lineup. As for Miami, I'm putting all those guys in the trenches. You have to. I mean, this is a great matchup. Tyreek Hill's the number one receiver. You're playing him. Jalen Waddle's apparently got no questionable tag now going into the game. I think he's probably more of a safe wide receiver 3 or flex option. You're playing Mostert if he suits up. He does have an ankle and knee injury, so make sure you check Sunday to make sure he is in the lineup. But I think he's a safe RB1. I like Devin Achane. He's probably more of an RB2 this week. And Tua, of course, is a top 10 passing option. And I do like the Dolphins' defense against Vegas.
Yeah, Miami favored by 12.5 points. Justin, Giants, Washington.
All right. Well, since I have time, just a little note on Devin Achane. He could have been playing a while ago with just a sleeve. It sounds like Miami was ultra super cautious with him, meaning I believe he is 100% full speed, ready to go. And I don't want to potentially miss out on 30 points. And he could get it on 5 or 6 touches. So he's in for me for sure. All right. The Giants put in Saquon Barkley and that's it. Nobody else. There might be slightly better days ahead for Saquon because I believe Tyrod Taylor is due to come back soon. So at least they won't have Danny DeVito at quarterback. On the Washington side of the ball, he's the number 6 quarterback in fantasy football on the year. Sam Howell, the Howell is in. He's got a bad game coming, but it's not this week. It'll be next week against Dallas, very likely. Terry McLaurin, I mean, he's due for a huge game, but he has quietly been very solid all season. 12 to 16 points week in and week out. He's a top 20 receiver. The Giants are terrible. He's in the trenches. Brian Robinson, very similarly. He's like the number 4 running back. Number 6, same range. Quietly been doing it. He's in your trenches as well. Logan Thomas is in there. And I listen, unless it's like desperation, injury riddled, bye week, you could throw Jahan Dotson in there, but he is a low-end flex for me. And I will trench at Commanders defense as well.
Washington favored by 9.5 points. Late afternoon games, Eric. Tampa Bay, San Francisco.
All right, John. Well, Tampa Bay traveling to San Francisco. I don't think it's going to go very well for him. A familiar face, though, that they got in they're going against here in the backfield. McCaffrey had many a games against Tampa Bay in the past, so I think he's an easy trench. He's going to have a monster game like he always does against Tampa Bay. Although Tampa Bay's run defense pretty good, John, they can't stop Christian McCaffrey. Never have been able to. Brock Purdy, put him in the trenches. Brandon Ayuk, put him in the trenches. Deebo Samuel, put him in the trenches. George Kittle, I call him Greg Kittle. George Kittle, he is fantastic, especially if you picked him up in a trade for Russell Wilson last week. Put him in the trenches. That's it, John. It's kind of a tough matchup for that San Francisco defense, but they got to be in the trenches each and every week. I don't care who they got, John, with the acquisitions they had a few weeks ago. It's a must start each and every week. Going over to the Tampa Bay side of the ball, a lot less action on that side of the ball, John. Who am I putting in the trenches? Well, Baker Mayfield, he's been a safe play, 18 to 20 fantasy points each and every week, so I don't mind putting him in the trenches. Mike Evans, he's got it going there. Rashad White, he's been just in beast mode as of lately, just very consistent. Got to go in the trenches each and every week. And Chris Godwin, he's a nice sexy flexy this week. If you're desperate, Cade Otton might have it. You know, they're going to be playing from behind, John. So Cade Otton might get some garbage time for you. Put him in the trenches as well, and that's it.
San Francisco favored in that game by 11.5 points. I get the New York Jets and Buffalo Bills. Oh, the Jets. I wonder if they're regretting not cutting Zach Wilson and, you know, just extending Mike White's contract right about now. What a bad football player Zach Wilson is. I know that that's been beat to death, and that's not breaking news, but I just wanted to say it too. Breece Hall is a start. Garrett Wilson is a flex, and that is about it. If you want to try some Tyler Conklin, hey, it's the tight end position. I'm not going to fault you at all. But maybe that Jets defense is a play this week because, boy, oh, boy, Buffalo Bills imploding all over the place. But you got to start Josh Allen. I think he's number one or number two in fantasy right now. I think they got to get Josh Allen's legs going, and I think that might change some things in Buffalo. James Cook, so he fumbles on, what, the first his first handoff of the game or something like that. They don't put him in for 20 minutes, and then he kind of explodes. Stop doing that stuff, NFL coaches. James Cook's a flex or a running back two this week. Steph Diggs, of course, he's going in. Gabe Davis is probably a flex. Here's where the Jets are beatable on defense, and that is in the slot. Who plays in the slot? Khalil Shakir. He has turned into a thing, kind of. If you're in deep leagues or got a bye week issue, Khalil Shakir, I think you can plug him in this week. And Dalton Kincaid has turned into a real thing. And because Zach Wilson plays quarterback, then you've got to start the other team's defense. So certainly you want to play Buffalo's defense, and they're favored by 7. All right, Seattle taking on the Rams, Lyle.
Yeah, not the most appetizing fantasy matchup here, but a few guys in the trenches. Kenneth Walker, just kind of a low-end RB1. I think he's running back 8 on the season in our league, so put him in the trenches. I like Tyler Lockett if he suits up. He is questionable with a hamstring injury, but he's been their most consistent fantasy producer. I like him as a high-end wide receiver 3 or flex. DK Metcalf, I'm going to put him on the bench. 6 to 17 fantasy points per game. So I guess if you're looking for a solid floor and you need 10, 12 points, maybe put DK in. But if you need a big week, a 20-point week, I don't see that coming from Metcalf. They also have Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, who is actually, I think, outproduced Metcalf the last 4 weeks. I'm also going to put him on the bench, though, unless you're really struggling with bye weeks. As for the Rams, it does look like Stafford's going to play, but I'm not putting him in my lineup. But it does upgrade Puka Nacua, who's probably a safe wide receiver 3 or a flex, and makes Cooper Kupp a low-end, probably wide receiver 1. As for the running backs, Daryl Henderson's getting a little more usage than Royce Freeman, so I think in a pinch, I would play Henderson as a flex over Freeman. That's probably it in this matchup.
Seattle favored by 1 single point on the road. Sunday night football, Justin, it is the purple taking on Russ Wilson and the Broncos.
Well, I do want to throw a little support your way on the stop doing that, NFL coaches. James Cook, that was his first fumble of the season.
Yep.
And he's averaging over double-digit carries alone plus reception. So I agree. All right, let's talk about the purple. If he plays, Justin Jefferson is in your lineup. That's a no-brainer. Josh Dobbs, I'm putting him in the trenches as well. He's electric. He's exciting. It may all fall apart at some point, but it's fun to watch right now. And he has been putting up points every week as a Viking, albeit only 2. He is making things happen. TJ Hockenson in the trenches if he plays. Ty Chandler, he's a running back who's going to be the starting running back for this game. He's in your trenches as well. If you don't play him over a Breece Hall or something like that, don't go crazy. But I would consider playing him over a James Cook possibly this week, just because the matchup is fair. Jordan Addison is in the trenches as well, and I'll play that Vikings defense. They're a top 10 defense right now. They have had at least 2 turnovers in 4 of their last 5 games. They've had an interception or 2 in, I think, 5 games straight. They're playing good football right now. For the talent that they have, especially. On to the Denver side of the ball. Russell Wilson is in your trenches this week. The Vikings are, middle of the road against quarterbacks for fantasy football, but I'm putting him in. Cortland Sutton, I'll put him in as a – he's been a solid wide receiver too. I like him better as a flex, but his numbers are wide receiver 2 numbers. Javonte Williams seems to be heating up a bit. I'm going to throw him in the trenches as well. Jerry Judy's on my bench. He needs to have a game or two with at least, 4 or 5 receptions, 60-plus yards. And he's not even getting that for you right now. And that Broncos defense, I will trench them as well. They have along with the Bears, the last 4 or 5 weeks have played much better football since getting, you know, absolutely destroyed not that long ago. Their defense has been significantly better, and they've done it against some very good offenses, Buffalo, you know, Kansas City. So they're, I'll throw them in as well.
I hate giving Sean Payton credit because, well, I hate Sean Payton. But that's a 4-5 football team that's kind of been rescued a little bit. Chance of rain in the forecast. Denver favored at home by 2.5 points, which brings us to Monday Night Football and what people are calling a possible Super Bowl preview, Eric, and that would be Philadelphia and the Chiefs.
Well, you know, the people would probably be pretty easy to say that, John, considering both of them were in the Super Bowl last year.
Right, right.
But who am I putting in the trenches? Well, everybody in this game, John. You're not sitting anybody. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the number one quarterback in fantasy this week. No doubt about it. Philadelphia cannot stop the pass. Patrick Mahomes coming off the bye is always good. He's going to have 45 fantasy points, John. He's going in the trenches. Travis Kelce in the trenches. Isaiah Pacheco in the trenches. Rashee Rice in the trenches. I'm even starting Vandell Scantling and Sky Moore. Why not, John? They're probably he's probably going to spread the ball around, and he's going to find all of them. They're all going to be double-digit fantasy points. Put them all in the trenches. Sit in that Kansas City defense reluctantly, John, because Kansas City has a very, very good defense, but I'm not putting them up against Philly. And Les Hurts, for some reason, isn't out there, but he's not even on the injury report, which makes no sense. Jalen Hurts, he's a must-start. So who am I putting in on the Philly side? Hurts. A.J. Brown, DeAndre Swift, Devontae Smith. I'm putting all of them in there, John. Even Kenneth Gainwell, give him a shot. He's a guy who likes to catch the ball out of the backfield. So I'm putting all the guys in the trenches this week, John. This is going to be a great game.
Yeah, it'll be something to see. Problem is there's a good chance of rain, and it's also going to be windy Monday night in Kansas City. They're favored by 2.5 points, and that is going to wrap up the week edition. Week 11 edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. Hey, if we can do it, we will have a text line again, but I will get you that information as it comes to me. We want to thank our sponsors. That's ACC Midwest Transportation, the United States Marine Corps, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, and West Central Trophies. There is a question we can answer for you. It's through that Loon app right now, the lower right-hand corner, that little blue button. Push that. Send us a message. You can also email us, 941theloonrocks@gmail.com. We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas. And for Eric LeBrotton, Justin Havemeyer, Lyle Dickman, and Jack Culbertson, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next Saturday for the Fantasy Football Foursome.